to the green light.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track. Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the fortifies and the humming wise. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Welcome to Scaredy Cats here on the Everything Unscripted Network. I'm one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my big sister, Mindy.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Scaredy Cats. Tonight we're going to be divvying away from the theme we've got going on of bad remakes, and we're going to be diving into part two of our Scream franchise retrospective. We're going to be covering basically 3 and 4, and then we have a little time at the end. We'll dive into the show a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little update for everybody that's on our social medias. We did say that we were going to be doing Poltergeist, and we're both sorry if you were wanting that. We tried.
Yeah,
we really did. We couldn't find the movie. The links that I did find of the movie only allowed me to watch it for a few minutes. And honestly, people, I'm not going to spend any money on it because it's just it's bad.
It's not a good film. So we figured today we'd call it audible and talk about something we know about very well. So.
Exactly. And you guys have also been touched with this subject and Halloween and whatnot. So we decided to bring it back and finish it up.
So that's going to be what we're going to get into, basically the last two movies. And maybe we'll talk about the upcoming Scream 5, even though it's just called Scream in 2022. And but before we get into that, make sure to check out the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after AEW and NXT and after SmackDown. Make sure to check us out every Friday at 6:30 p.m. for Unscripted Wrestling, and make sure to check us out Saturday around 6 for Settle in the Ring, and obviously here at 3 for Scaredy Cats. Before we, now that all that's out of the way, you want to get right into it?
Sure. What would you like to get into first?
I figure we'd start with the disappointment that is Scream 3.
So the thing with Scream 3 here is it was directed by Wes Craven. A lot of people think it wasn't, but it was. Even you, Daniel, I believe, thought it wasn't. But it is. The producers were a couple of people that were new, and then Kevin Williamson did produce. But it was not written by Kevin Williamson this time. It was written by somebody completely different, which you can absolutely tell. But a lot of people don't know this. So I'll shed a little bit of light on it. Right before Scream 3 was released, or actually I should say put in production, the very sad Columbine murders had just happened. So the script that Mr. Williamson had wrote, they had to trash it because it had too much teen-on-teen violence.
Yeah.
And that's not what they wanted to go for. Wes didn't want to be known for the guy that made fun of the Columbine murders.
Yeah.
Basically. So they changed it.
Yeah, they changed it. And that's why you don't see a lot of epic kills in this one, too. And a
absolutely.
Lot of
that's why it's just like stab.
Yeah, basic stabs. Now, the guy that got to write the script, Aaron Kruger, he has done some things. He is known for the Ring movies, the American version of those.
Okay.
And the Transformer movies.
Oh, he's also known for Reindeer Games as well. A lot of people know that. I know that as well. That is definitely a horror thriller action.
Yeah.
Definitely check that out. That's a really good movie. I believe I even had Daniel watch that.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. So this movie, it's got a lot. I mean,
it's quirky.
Yeah.
It's quirky, people. It's got a little bit of suspense, or actually a lot of it of suspense that relies on its suspense, honestly.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of thrills. not a lot of really like pop like jump scares or anything like that.
Yeah.
More so like psychological because they're like going back. It's just like a prequel, but a sequel, and it's weird. And I feel that if Mr. Williamson would have been able to write it, it would have been better. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, Aaron Kruger, he did a great job with some other movies he did, but this wasn't the movie for him.
No. And it was a $40 million budget and made $100 million. So the movie did well. But it is kind of the ugly duckling of the Scream franchise because I think it relied a little too much on comedy maybe in the script. And to me, out of all the movies, all the Screams don't really feel scary to me anymore. Just because I'm a huge fan.
Daniel, we've watched them at least 150 times each.
But,
sorry, people. We're at best.
But if you go into it just as a fan, I don't think you can find this scary at all. Like, there isn't many times where I was like, ah.
Well, like I said, it's suspenseful.
Yeah. And they retconned so much shit, and it was like, it was so based on the story. And the story is good, but I was fine with Billy and Stu and the whole plan, and they didn't need to be changed.
The fact that they changed it too. As well, I had the opportunity to watch some deleted scenes from Scream 3, and the ending was actually supposed to be completely different. Her and Roman were supposed to face off and whatnot, but she was actually supposed to get shot, and she did not have a vest on. And Dewey ended up fighting it. But I feel like they went with the other version because it made Sydney the badass that she is.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would have felt a little disappointed with that one. But it was done okay. But let's think about this here. Roman is like 5 years older than Sydney.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Like she said, like nobody is responsible for anything but you. You did everything. Like you're the one that's responsible.
Billy seemed a little whiny in the first one, but Roman takes the cake.
Oh, yeah.
Whiny
Roman has the king's crown on as whiny bitch.
Because even as just the director, he was annoying. It's like, I can't wait to see this guy get killed.
And then
we
saw
him
get killed.
Yeah.
And we were like, God. And then he came back as the freaking murderer. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
And he's going through his whole spiel, and even Neve Campbell, who I love, Sydney Prescott, you know I love you, she was like, are you done whining? Because I've heard all of this before.
Yeah. Let me bring up something, because you and me have not talked about this outside of this for some reason, which I find funny, and a lot of people hate this about this movie. That's this one thing is what drives people away from this movie about a lot. Because this technology is still not available today. And there's still not even an app to do it. The voice changer thing. And the fact that you can now mimic other people's voices. And this is basically a tech adventure. And he can fucking... He can
tell like cotton. Yeah, really around that like, is like a voice changer. It's just something that distorts your voice.
Yeah, but you can't mimic another person's voice. No, not like that.
Unless you're an impressionist like Dana Carvey or something. Like, you can't impersonate somebody. And honestly, how in the world did he get their voices?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
He didn't know any of them.
And especially the cotton thing, too, when first of all, the cotton kill. I mean, I don't completely hate taking out cotton because I feel like his story was over. But... How does that even make sense to use the voice changer 3 feet away from his wife and it sounds just like him and she thinks that it's him?
Because he was standing outside the door. That's why the door was shut. She didn't know.
I know, but still, it doesn't feel like, that feels like next level government technology that I don't think Roman had.
Well, no, anybody doesn't, like you said, to this day, no one has that kind of technology. It was really a dumb overlook on their part.
It feels like an interesting...
I know where they were going with.
Yeah.
Like you were about to say, it is an interesting road.
For another movie.
Go down before yes, exactly. For a different movie.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be an interesting plot for a different movie, but it feels gimmicky and lazy for Scream because it's so meta.
Exactly, because the first and the second, so much time, and the fourth, put so much time perfecting everything. A lot of people don't realize this, but like the Drew Barrymore scene in the first Scream, I'm going to throw it back here for a second, that people took over 48 hours of constant shooting. That entire scene.
Yeah.
That was only like 10 to 15 minutes. That is because of how nitpicky Mr. Williamson and Mr. Craven were when they were a team.
Yeah.
Wes Craven, he really didn't want to direct Scream 3. So he did it really lazily.
Yeah, you could tell.
Like in the making of Scream 3, because a lot of people, if you'd like to delve a little bit deeper into what we're doing here, there is making of stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
Very, very easy to find, and they're very informational. And in the third one, he basically admits that he didn't want to do it, but he had to. Because he was under contract live. He was under contract.
And that's not the only thing that feels lazy about this movie either. The characters feel lazy. I love Kevin Smith as much as the next guy, but why the fuck is Jay and Silent Bob
I love that cameo.
Oh, my God.
You can go away with that. I love that cameo.
I know it's in Hollywood, but what
Look,
the
it's
fuck?
Connie Chung.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. I thought it was funny. I mean, yeah, it was really stupid, and it was misplaced, and they really didn't belong there, but it was kind of funny.
And now you have nerds online that say that they're in the same universe, the Kevin Smith universe and Scream movie.
Yeah, no, everybody listening to this, that is not, no, absolutely not. Like I said, go to the documentaries, go to the making of Mr. Craven. He was very... very, very precise. He was also very okay with being filmed. You know this, Daniel.
Yeah.
He was very okay with doing documentaries. So every single Scream has a documentary.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them
all. I've seen them all as well. And then he has a documentary for all four of them together, which is like 2 hours long. But he's very into documenting everything. A lot of people that like the Nightmare on Elm Street series, there's also a documentary on that on YouTube called Still Sleeping.
Yeah.
If you'd like to check that out. But Scream 3, it just seems really rushed, mediocre,
yeah.
Campy. They tried to make it into something, and they lost me.
What did you think, because this guy stuck out like a sore thumb to me. He's probably the most well-known actor in
it.
This.
Oh, no, God. Here yeah. comes the Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, what did you think of Patrick Dempsey's character? And what did you... the weird kind of romance that does not work with Nev Campbell.
And it never goes anywhere.
Yeah.
It never goes anywhere. He goes from making popcorn in her house, watching a movie with her and everything, and then we never see him again.
Yeah.
And she never mentions it.
And he lives,
Where did
right?
he go?
He lives, though.
Yeah, he was in the very last scene. He was making popcorn in her house.
And he doesn't sniff Scream 4, I mean.
No, he's not in there. And she doesn't mention him. Where did he go? Where did he... Did he disappear? Is he a ghost? Did he go poof? I mean, but honestly, I didn't like his character anyway. He was cocky. And... people are going to shoot me for saying this, but everybody is a different person. A lot of people love Grey's Anatomy. A lot of people don't. I, unfortunately, for you people out there, am not a fan of Grey's Anatomy. I have watched it, so don't jump my throat about, oh, well, you need to watch it first before you talk bad about it. I have. I'm just not into it. It's too romancy for me.
Yeah, and like it feels like that this was just a cash grab. It's like, all right, the last two films were successful, so
let's put everyone in there that's
yeah.
doing well with success right
yeah.
now. And
he
you're
was
right
a big star at
used,
the time
because they used Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah,
they used him. Like they used some really really popular stars of the time for this movie.
Which
but,
they had always done, but they always kind of were before that. Like they
exactly.
knew that,
they were growing into their feet.
Yeah, they
like
knew Matthew Miller.
He knew that they were going to have potential
yeah.
He just had to explore.
Yeah.
And like you just brought up with Matthew Lillard,
yeah.
A lot of people don't know this, but Matthew Lillard had two other horror movies. And I wouldn't really say they're horror movies. I would say they're more like scary and suspenseful than anything. One of them is called The Curve.
Yeah.
And that's when he finds out that if his roommate killed himself, then he can get an A for the semester. So he can get into Harvard. And then the next movie that he did was actually with Zach from Saved by the Bell. And it was called Dead Man on Campus. And it was basically the same exact story. It was just written a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But Matthew Lillard did do a lot. I'm not going to say a lot, but a standard amount of horror work.
Yeah, he did. What do you think of them? I mean, they never really ignore it. Well, they do ignore it, but they don't say it doesn't exist. But they kind of don't even talk about what happened here in Scream 4. Do you think that's a good thing? Or do you think...
Cause in Scream 3?
Yeah, they don't really talk about...
Why would they talk about Scream 4 and Scream 3?
No, why would they don't talk about Scream 3 and Scream 4 much? Like, Roman doesn't get brought up as much as, like, what happened to her mother and stuff.
Well, because a lot of people don't know this. It was never on screen that Sydney had told them that he was her brother.
Yeah.
No one, I mean, unless she told them off screen, no one knew.
You don't think she would put that
audience.
In her book about her big fucking journey? That's pretty big.
Yeah, but also that would be years later. That wouldn't be in the third movie. And yeah, that would be in the fourth, but she doesn't really even talk about her book that much in the fourth.
Yeah, she does.
She
she's
has
on a book
run. She does have the book signing. She's on the book tour and everything. But, like, others, like, after the tragedy happens and that, and they find the blood and the cell phone in her car, and she's stuck there and whatnot, she kind of just retreats.
Yeah, but I know they're in Woodsboro, too. They're not in Hollywood. But the events of the first film and everything get brought up a lot.
Yeah, because
they
went back to Woodsboro.
Yeah, but they don't really touch on her journey much at all. You don't think they don't just do that because the movie sucked? Because I feel like they kind of did.
Yeah.
I think they tried to just
take the broom and sweep under it.
Yeah. To me, that's what it felt like, too.
Yeah. The only thing that I want to bring up that in Scream 4 they did a really good extended deleted scene on is no one has ever, Daniel, talked about what happened to Tatum and how it happened. No one's ever acknowledged it.
Yeah, Dewey has no emotions about his sister.
Well, that's the thing, though. He does. In this deleted scene, Julie, his deputy, she says there's another young girl named, and he finishes, and he goes, her name was Tatum. She was my sister. She died crawling through a doggy door. I don't talk about it much because I loved her. So that honestly should have been in there.
Yeah, that didn't need to be cut.
No, absolutely not, because we've gone 4 movies now without him acknowledging it.
Yeah.
His sister died. She got squished.
But
her head physically got squished.
It is kind of sad because as much as I love Kevin Williams said that as well, I mean, he didn't write this one, so it's not his fault. But, as much as I love Wes Craven and everything, that is a character development moment that they kind of took away from Billy.
Exactly, because that could have made his character just that much more dimensional. Because then not only is he the surrogate big brother of Randy and Sydney and whatnot, because what happened to Tatum and everything, but it would also give him a little bit of a more of a backstory, I feel. But I feel like we could focus a little bit more on Dewey.
Yeah.
And what him and Tatum were like when they were kids.
Yeah.
Like, because there's got to be something wrong with your dynamic with your brother and sister if one of them dies and you don't say anything.
Yeah. I mean... And as much as I love Scream 2, that I think that would have really helped it even more. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't think there's much you need to improve on there, but if you put that extra arc for Dewey for the next upcoming movies.
Scream 3 as well, Daniel.
Yeah.
They had Randy's sister.
Yeah, Martha.
Come in.
Yeah.
So what on earth did they have Randy's sister?
Never
but
mentioned
they
before.
Never mentioned Tatum. Ever.
Yeah, and Martha's never
we
been mentioned.
We didn't even know
that.
Randy had a sister.
Yeah.
We had no idea. Now all of a sudden, oh no, don't shoot, that's Martha Meeks. What?
It's just sad because as such an aware franchise, it feels like a lot of the stuff in this movie is stuff Scream would make fun of in other movies.
Exactly. It tries so hard to be tries too hard to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
And also I will have to say, shout out to Jamie Kennedy. I do love his little cameo appearance in this because it is great when he is arguing through the tape to Dewey.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I guess I shouldn't have lost my virginity at the video store to Karen Kolchak. And Dewey goes, Karen Kolchak. And Randy replies in the video and he's like, yes, Karen Kolchak. Whatever, we were doing things in the, we were putting things away in the horror section and shit happened. Get over it. And like, I thought that that was kind of a crucial moment, but not really. It could have been easily cut out.
You didn't need, I mean, I feel like they just wanted to give Jamie Kennedy a check. And I think that they just kind of missed him because he was the heart, the backbone. And Tyson, I didn't mind Tyson's character, honestly. I find it funny that he made the cover of the DVD. And also, he was like the Randy in this thing.
Well, yeah, all of them had characters that they were playing, Daniel, and he was Randy.
Yeah, and he was just self-aware. And I thought he was funny. He didn't get enough screen time, though.
No, he didn't. But he definitely shed a little bit of comedy on it.
Yeah.
A little bit. Angelina, she could have went.
She
I didn't need her.
Funny.
How was she funny?
Wait, was that the one?
That was the one that was playing Sydney.
Oh, no, no. She was fine.
Yeah,
she
could have went.
High-profile actress, though. Emily Mortimer is a pretty... She's been in a lot of stuff. But
I,
she
I
was
get that,
severely underutilized.
Was,
yeah.
Exactly. They didn't use her to her fullest potential. She honestly... Actually, people, I don't even know if Daniel knows this. She was supposed to be the second killer.
Was she really?
In Scream 3. Yes, she was. There
that would make...
two killers.
That makes sense. 3.
She was supposed to be Roman's girlfriend.
Oh, okay. To me, that makes a lot of sense because she acts very shady
mm-hmm.
throughout the thing.
Absolutely. And they focus a lot on that shadiness.
Yeah, and her face
and her
stuff.
Disappearing and stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they would have kept it, it would have been so much better.
I do,
really would.
I do got to say, out of all the new casts, though, Jennifer Jolie was kind of funny as the fake Gail. And I like their dynamic and how they killed her off and everything.
They were so funny together.
Yeah.
They really were. Like, Gail's trying to get into the building, and she, like, she shows up, and she's like, are you snooping? Are you being Gail Weathers? And she's holding the card up to her face, and she's like, do you need to get in there? Is there a mystery?
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, will you let me in? And she's like, yes. Gail Weathers always has the key, and she lets them in, and she's like, I'm Gail Weathers. And she's like, what's your plan here? And she's like, all right, so here's my plan. The killer's coming after me because I'm playing you, because he really wants to kill you. So I'm following you, so in that way, when the killer sees me, but he sees you, he'll kill you and not me. Got it? And she's like, that is so stupid, but whatever.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but the scene with Carrie Fisher was pretty funny.
She was hilarious. She was so funny.
Yeah.
She so slut-shamed herself.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Like, they're like, oh, are you? And she's like, no, I was up for the part of Princess Leia, but the one that got it was the twit that had sex with George Lucas. And it's like, you were the what?
Yeah,
you're Princess
her.
Leia.
Yeah.
So I got to give her a lot of credit because not a lot of people can talk shit about themselves so confidently.
Yeah, it works.
Because she really did. Like, you really, I honestly, when I was a kid, I didn't know.
No, me either.
until I was older, and then I found out.
A lot of this does feel like Scream Goes Hollywood, though. Like, we could have just been called that.
Or it could have been called Jay and Silent Bob Meet Scream.
I mean, that was just a cameo, but that would be funny. As far as anything else here, what was your top kill and lamest kill?
Oh, my. All right. So, oh, my God. I'm going to start with lamest because I got to think of my top one because this movie's just really bad. And you know it's bad if I'm saying it. Lamest would have to be Angelina when she's running away. She's running away, telling them that they're crazy to stay there.
Yeah.
And she comes around the corner and stabs her in the stomach.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And she run very awkwardly, too.
Too. Like, she was looking behind herself as she was running. Bitch, look forward! You're already ditching them.
Just go! Yeah, just go.
Like, you already told them that you're leaving them behind. Just leave. Don't look. Keep your eyes in front of your head.
So that's the lamest one.
That's absolutely. That is the lamest one. The best one, I will have to say, I got to give it up to my girl, Jenny McCarthy. I really liked her scene. I really liked her death. I liked her character. She shed a little bit of comedic on it, a little bit of comedy. And also, I'm sorry, people. The only scene that gives me shivers in Scream 3 anymore is the scene where she is in the room with all of the Ghostface costumes.
Yeah.
And Roman, whose Ghostface is actually in there with her, but she doesn't know. So she's, like, going through all of these Ghostface, and she doesn't know which one is real and which one isn't. That's suspense, people.
Yeah.
Like, they should have really made it more. They really should have went with that.
The only thing I don't get about her character and the convoluted stab shit is, first of all, how are they all characters remaking the first one when we're already on, like,
stab five? Because she was supposed to be Casey Becker.
Was she supposed to be Casey? Because, first of all, her name's Sarah. It could go Sarah Michelle Gellar for being in the second one, even though that doesn't really make sense. She could be Tatum.
Even it was supposed to be a prequel. It was supposed to be going back to Woodsboro.
But they all fucking...
They all had different names.
How do you go back to Woodsboro when all those people already died?
I didn't say it was good.
It's just so convoluted. It's such a mess.
I didn't say it was good. And poor Sydney, she got PTSD from the whole thing. Locking her in a house that looks exactly like hers, having her see blood all over and thinking that her mother's, that she sees her dead mother. Poor thing, man. I felt bad for her.
All right.
We're going to skip to Scream 4 now.
Well,
we hate this movie.
Well, first though.
Daniel, what was your lamest and your best?
Well, I pretty much agree with you on those. What I do, I want us to start giving these movies a rating, even though we're just starting this 4 or 5 episodes in. Fuck it. How many butcher knives do you want to give Scream 3? 1 out of 10.
I can't give it a
0.5
to 1.
1? I'd at least give it a 10.
It was really bad.
It was really bad. I mean, I won't... it's hard to really judge it because the Columbine thing was such a... It was such a traumatic event for so many people, and they did not want to see teenagers killing each other in that time and period,
and
which is completely
that.
Understandable.
I get that. But just write a different script, Kevin.
Yeah, just don't... I mean, the emphasis on comedy and humor, and I know that kind of built it back in the day, but it was a dark humor. It wasn't like a funny ha-ha. So it just... The movie just didn't work on so many levels, and like you said, it's about time to move on.
I love to say 1 second, people.
Go ahead.
My favorite line from Scream 3. A lot of people who have seen this movie knows Scream 3 is when Sydney runs. No one knows where she is except for Dewey and her dad. And she comes back out of hiding and goes in the police office. They're all shocked to see her. And Gail goes, "Oh, the killer called you? What did he say?" And Neve Campbell shrugs her shoulders and goes, "Oh, you know, the usual. Hi, how are you? How would you like to die?" that was the best line. What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty hilarious. Yeah, I mean, that was funny. Now, Scream 4 returns to its roots, written by Kevin Williams and directed by Wes Craven. This isn't a remake, but it's weird because we've been talking about remakes and horror and all that stuff. And a lot of them did well financially, but not critically. This is kind of the other way around. It got mixed reviews, but it got $97 million out of $40 million budget, the lowest grossing film in the franchise.
Yeah. Surprising, a lot of people wanted it.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted it, but when they gave it to them, just not a lot of people went out. I mean, it turned a profit. I don't think the studio was mad. They didn't do as well as the other ones. Do you think it's just?
I think it was just because a lot of people that I know that are fans of the franchise, they hate, and I will have to say this. They hate the music.
Yeah.
So Scream has always had an orchestra working with them. They've also had a signature song. Neither of them were utilized in the fourth. It was techno music. And a lot of people, including myself, got upset. One of my favorite songs is actually the song from Scream 1, 2, and 3. It's called Red Right Hand. It's the one that we grace you with before we start talking. Great song. Scream 4, they left all that out. And I feel like that put them back a little bit, unfortunately.
You think so?
Absolutely, because there's one thing about Scream 1 and 2 that I love is the music. The musicality.
Yeah, the soundtracks.
Yeah, not even the soundtracks, but like the orchestra.
The score.
Playing,
the More
score,
the score. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the fact that Red Right Hand wasn't utilized, maybe a little like.
There's so many moments you can do.
Exactly. And it's a
And you're returning to Woodsboro, and it's like.
Yeah, exactly. So you should have that song playing. Instead, they open up with a techno song, and it's like, what the hell? So, it is what it is, people, but I'm not okay with it. Another thing I will have to say is I'm iffy on the multiple beginnings. What do you think?
I didn't, the stab thing has always been my least favorite thing about these movies, because, like, I get this is meta. But the whole stab thing with the sequels has been the only thing that I haven't always gotten 100%. So I could do without it. Out of the three endings, I thought all three endings were kind of cool, though. I didn't mind, like, all the deaths.
Honestly,
but
the deaths were really spot on. They were really good. Shout out to Kristen Bell, man, who stabbed her friend in the stomach a couple times. That was good.
Yeah.
You didn't even know she had a knife.
Yeah. My favorite one of them, though, is probably the one that got cut out. And it's sad because we're going to talk about a lot of the scenes that got cut out, probably.
And if you want to see them, you can go on YouTube, people. There's a lot of channels that have them.
This movie is a movie that was boggled down by studio interference a little too much.
Oh, absolutely, because they were trying to keep it. Was it an R rating, my friend?
Yeah, it was
okay.
An R rating.
They tried to keep it to R instead of MA. Every time that Craven and Williamson were together, they end up getting hit with that MA rating.
Yeah.
It happened in 1, it happened in 2, it happened in 4. So they had to cut some of the nitty-gritty stuff out. There's actually the first scene, not the first scene, but the first official scene outside of the screams with the two girls, Marnie and Jenny.
Yeah.
That was actually supposed to be completely different. When when Marnie was being trying to prank her friend Jenny because Jenny had already pranked her.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
She was on the couch on the floor. Laughing at her.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Ghostface actually killed Jenny.
Right, that lifestyle.
Then killed Marnie.
Yeah. I like that one.
I like that a lot better. I really think they should have kept that scene.
But I think what it'll explain a lot with the script, because I did say it returned to its roots, but let me go back on that a little bit. Because I don't want to shit on this dude too much, but we kind of have to. The Scream 3 writer, Aaron Kruger, was brought in to do rewrites. Mm-hmm. And I have a quote here from Craven himself, and he said, "Look, there was a bumpy period when things shifted over from Kevin to Aaron. I signed up to do a script by Kevin Williamson, and unfortunately it didn't go all the way through the shooting. But certainly it's Kevin's script and concept and characters and themes." So Kevin Swift's – not Kevin Swift. Shout out Kevin Swift. But Kevin Williamson's original script and original vision for the movie does not get played out.
No.
We don't know what it would have been. Maybe we never will.
Probably not. Honestly, it's been several years, and it never got leaked, which is actually a miracle.
Yeah.
I don't think that we'll ever know.
Yeah. Who knows? I did hear the one kind of, well, I guess it's not a spoiler because it'll never happen, but the one deep cut that I heard was that the whole Jill thing wasn't going to be a thing, and the reveal was that there's multiple ghost faces around the world, and they all, like, meet up, and, like, their ultimate goal is to kill.
Yeah, kind of like the KKK.
Yeah.
But not really.
It's not
racial. It was more like the Kill Sydney Club.
Yeah.
Basically, they were gonna take apart from the second how Mrs. Loomis had met Mickey on a psycho website, and they were going to breach off of that and say that not only did the two of them meet on it, but they also, like, made a different site off of that site for psychos, and they had a cult following, and every time she killed one, one came back. I'm sorry, we already had a Halloween. We already got a Jason. We already had a Freddy. We don't need another one. I mean, stay in your lane, Scream.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it'd be like a cyber tech group of like a bunch of kids that are just serial killers around the world, I don't hate it.
I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't like it.
The Jill reveal is probably better. I didn't mind. That wasn't one of the things I had to wrong with this movie. And I know you're going to love talking about her beating the hell out of herself.
All right, well, people, I want to say one thing, and I actually screamed this in theaters. Sydney did not have an aunt. She did not have a cousin, people. She had no family. This is the family that she had. Her mother and her father. Because when she was in Scream 1, they asked her, "Do you have any other family besides her dad?" She said no. How in the hell does she get a cousin and her mother has a sister all of a sudden?
That live in the city, by the way.
Not only in the city, but they live way down the street from where she used to live.
Yeah.
What the hell? Did they just disappear? Do you just not talk about them? Yeah. That pissed me off. It really did. But.
And if they didn't live there in the first place, why would they move there after the tragedy and everything?
Exactly. Exactly. And they didn't use the mother to her full potential. That mother should have been used very
well
differently.
What I've heard behind that is they had a high-profile actress. I forgot her name.
You were telling me that.
But they had a high-profile actress that was going to take the role of Sydney's aunt, and it was going to be very fleshed out, and she was going to have a lot more to do. But that was, I think that was one of the things in this original script that got cut.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get the actress, so they just gave this random lady a few lines to work with.
Yeah, I mean, and she did good. I'm not saying she didn't.
There wasn't
I'm just
a character
saying,
there,
like,
really.
There really wasn't a character.
No.
Like, yeah. So they needed a better actress. But like Daniel was about to tell y'all, I love that Jill beats the living hell out of herself at the end of this movie. I have never seen somebody, especially a woman, so hell-bent on making sure somebody else goes down for their mistakes. That, all right, people, so she has her ex-boyfriend's hand in her hand, and she helps him pull out her hair. Then she stabs herself in the shoulder. We're not done. Then she runs face first into a picture with a glass picture frame over it. She is wackadoodle. And then she decides, and she's still standing, it's not good enough, she decides to pretty much just free fall into her glass table. Or into Kirby's glass table. Why? I understand you were trying to make your point, but you really think that they were going to think that they did all that to you?
Yeah.
Come on. And you didn't, you only got stabbed in the shoulder, but they threw you through a coffee table? Sweetheart, think.
Yeah, I mean, she's innocent enough looking to her. She could just give her a stab in the leg and be like, okay.
And
like
exactly.
A little slash somewhere.
And that's why her and Charlie did what they did in the beginning when he killed Olivia. How he gave her a surface wound.
Yeah.
And I feel, I really, really do love Emma Roberts, but I do feel like she could have been given more direction.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think
like
the acting was
directed right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but her acting isn't eh. That's what I'm trying to say. Her acting is usually very good.
No, I just mean in this movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The direction was bad. Not necessarily Mr. Craven, but somebody that was telling her exactly what to do.
I will say, out of a lot of stuff that got cut, the stuff fleshing out her relationship with her boyfriend a little more and making him
the hallway scene.
Like, I feel bad for the boyfriend because, like, his character basically got cut from the movie.
It really
like,
did.
A lot of his scenes.
You go back and watch the scenes, the deleted scenes, like, almost every single one of them has Trevor in it.
Yeah, it's at least, like, 20 minutes of stuff with Trevor that no one... That does not make the film.
Yeah, and it's really sad because he did a really good job.
Yeah, it feels like they don't know the tone to give him. Like, is he
It feels like they tried to make another Billy Loomis.
Yeah, yeah.
But they couldn't make another Billy Loomis because Charlie would have been Billy Loomis.
Yeah.
But Charlie and Jill never wanted to make the relationship official in front of anybody.
Yeah.
So that made it a little bit difficult
and
for him to be Billy.
It feels like they gave him 50 personalities because he wasn't Billy. Like, was he the jock? Was he the goofball? Was he the, like,
man,
60 boyfriend?
Even know.
What was he? You don't know.
Like, I don't even know.
He had a different personality scene to scene. One minute he's got a close-up where he looks menacing, and the next minute he's like, I don't know, dude. I just got a phone call, so I came.
Like, I know. Whiplash, man.
Yeah.
With his emotions that he goes through.
Yeah.
Like, one minute he'd be like, get away from me. And then the next second he's like, I'm coming, Joe.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll be right there. I love you.
You go through all that with the character, that poor actor that cut out half of his thing and then shoot him in the dick.
That poor man's penis. I felt so bad for that poor guy. No one ever wants to be shooting the dick. And Let's just say this, people. She keeps him alive and shoots him in the dick.
Yeah.
And then she shoots him in the head after letting him scream in pain for a couple minutes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Never cheat on her.
Yeah, that was brutal. She said, I'm not going to cheat on
her. Obviously.
She was ruthless.
Towards the end.
Yeah, let me bitch about Charlie because I think he's another one of the most underwhelming killers in this franchise.
You can go ahead because I love Macaulay Culkin. I love his siblings, so you go ahead and trash him because I can't.
I like Macaulay Culkin too, and I don't mind his little brother, but oh my God, is he trash in this movie. Besides Roman, if Scream 3 didn't exist, I'd say Charlie's the worst killer in the franchise, to be completely honest. He's another whiny little bitch. His thing doesn't make much sense besides he's with Jill and he doesn't like that it took so long for Kirby to notice him. Kirby's a 10 and you're like a -3, dude. I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're lucky she even gave you a shot at the fucking party. You should have just took it and clapped. I don't know what to tell you. But
they couldn't do it though because Trevor showed up. When they're about to get
yeah, but and his whole thing, like when he turned on her at the end, he's like, you didn't notice it. You're lucky she even gave you a fucking shot, dude. Well, why are you bitching now?
She gave you a signal.
Yeah, and now it's like,
I haven't noticed me since.
And he looked so weak. He looked so weak, and he was so disposable because Jill just kind of got rid of him like it was nothing. It's like, yeah, I used him. He's dead now.
He was such an emo friend.
He meant really nothing to the story. Now, one thing I want to ask you, and probably everyone that's watched this movie, is the most important question you can ask. You think Robbie was really gay, or do you think he was just saying that so the killer didn't kill him?
Oh, he was just saying that so the killer didn't kill him. But if you listen to him very, 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 very quietly, right after he says, I'm gay, he goes, if it helps.
Yeah.
And that's why he actually gets killed. Because the guy, Charlie, was not going to.
Yeah, I think he did like
that.
a head.
He cocked his head and started to walk away from him. And he said, well, if it helps. And then Charlie stabbed him.
Yeah.
And it was like, sweetheart, you should have just went with the being the gay thing. Come on.
I thought Robbie was funny. And he was a simple rehash of Randy, but he was hilarious.
He got so drunk.
Yeah, he was funny. He served his purpose. The cops. Adam Brody.
Oh my God.
Adam Brody's a successful actor.
They both are.
So I like them in this movie, and apparently they're friends of David Arquette and Courtney Cox, and that's why they wanted to do this, too.
Yeah, but they're literally, like, dumb and dumb.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're just there. Like, you know they're going to die. They're just the dumb cops. One scene, because there's two scenes that got cut out of this movie that I'm actually pissed off that aren't in the movie. The rest of them are okay. Like, they didn't add too much. Like, they added a little romance with Jill and Trevor, but we didn't really need it. The two that really bothered me are the water fountain scene, because I know you don't want to rehash too much, but come on. This is the fourth one. You're back in Woodsboro. Bring the kids in the water fountain and let them talk about what's going on.
I liked the water fountain scene. I thought that was...
Yeah. And it dives into each character.
And I feel like it matched each character. And I also feel like it was a necessary throwback to the first one. And I'm really upset that they cut it.
And I like how Sydney's friend, who I thought was the best kill in this movie, by the way, not Hayden Panettiere, but the other one, the kind of disposable one, just the hot chick. The one that when he was in her closet.
Her
no, the one he was in her closet. Did I
oh,
say Sydney?
Jill's friend. Yeah, you said Sydney's friend.
My bad.
Oh, Olivia.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, she was the best kill.
Yeah.
If you want gruesome people, if you want gruesome, bloody gore, go see her kill.
Especially for a knife kill. It was very
absolutely. Like, she had sausages and intestines hanging out.
Yeah.
Like,
and it was funny because in the water fountain, she's like, I wonder who's going to die next. And then I'm pretty sure that was going to be the next scene, too. So that's one thing I was pissed off about. The second one, after they killed Marty and whatever, who were the actual...
Marty and Honey.
Yeah, the actual first kills in the opening. The killer hangs them up in the house, and they're trying to kind of recreate it.
Yes!
Copycat the Casey Becker.
And it says, what is your favorite scary movie?
Yeah, in Blood on the Walls.
Yeah.
And you got Dewey walking around with the other cops talking about it. It's so atmospheric, and it's so, like, creepy, and it's like,
and
you
Dewey gets so upset,
yeah,
too, because he's like, oh, my God, just get them down. They're kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And... That is such a powerful scene.
Yeah, it's so powerful and creepy and scary. It's like, oh, this dude means fucking business, whoever's doing this. And and Dewey shines, like, as the sheriff, like, telling
exactly.
everyone what's up.
Exactly, and he feels so bad. His empathy is shining through, which I think sometimes gets a little muffled.
Yeah, how are you going to take that
out? A lot
of
people think that he's more obsessed with Sydney than protective of everybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like this would have been a great scene to show that he is protective of everyone, not just one person.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And also, it was really cool to see another gutting.
Yeah. And the way they were hanging up and like that. I mean, like...
They hung them on a ceiling fan, people, and just, had them swinging.
Yeah. And
before the cops got there. That was great.
Because... even unrelated to horror movies, I like a good cop show and stuff. So like when you arrive at a crime scene like that. So that it added that part to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And the law enforcement has always sort of been around the Scream franchise, so that was
cool.
Yeah,
but this time Dewey is the sheriff. And
yeah.
I feel like they didn't do as much as they could with that.
Yeah, that was what they were doing, and they took it away.
Yeah. they were lazy with his character a little bit. But also, a lot of people don't know that him and Courtney Cox were actually going through a divorce at the time that they were filming this movie. So they were barely speaking. If you go and watch the making of Scream 4, Wes Craven will tell you he had to make sure that they had different trailers at different sides, people, of the sets. Because they hated each other at that point. Like, both of them had cheated on each other. They hated each other. So I will have to say I am impressed that they pulled off as much as they did with each other, but they could have cared more. That's why when one of Gail's last scenes when she's in her hospital bed, that's why Dewey is just standing by her. He's not really showing her any kind of affection.
Yeah.
Like he did in the other two movies. And that's because they were breaking up. So.
Now, the original ending where... Now, if I get this wrong, let me know. But Jill, they basically leave her open-ended, right? Like, they just, like, carry her in, and then they do the video shots of the reporter saying she's a hero, and that's pretty much how it ends, right?
Yeah. They don't have the fight with Sydney.
Are you glad that they put that in and that was the ending?
I'm glad it had the ending that it did, because like Sydney says, you don't fuck with the original.
Yeah. And then Dewey's, you guys should write a book.
Poor Dewey. He literally got told by the killer. By the killer. What she was going to do. She even asked what wing Sydney was in. And he walks away. And he doesn't realize what he did until he goes back to his wife and tells him about their matching wounds. And she's like, wait, how does she know I was stabbed in the shoulder?
Yeah.
And he goes taken off, and it's like, dum-dum-dum-dum.
Now, we are going to cover the show here.
No, we really don't have enough time. And honestly, people, we're more of the horror podcast for movies.
Yeah.
And everything. If you really, really, really want us to do the series, we will at a different time. Shout out on us on our Facebook page and then on here on the Everything Unscripted podcast.com. We also have a Twitter that's coming up. I'm going to be making us an Instagram as well so we can chat with you guys and see what you guys would like to hear about more and everything. But unless we get requests for it, we're not going to be doing the TV show. And we were going to touch on Scream 5, but I feel like it is in our best interest and everybody else's best interest to not do that because no one really knows what's going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, we can say like what we think is going to happen, all that, but there's really like we'll review the movie when it comes out. And
exactly.
I think that'll be a hot podcast and we can do it right. Maybe go. Hopefully the theaters are open back up or whatever.
Oh, I hope so. That'll be the second movie, second Scream I took you to.
Because, yeah, and I would love to do a review right when that comes out.
Absolutely, but not right now. There's too many rumors out.
Yeah, and to kind of cut the cake on this movie here, pun unintended, you gave your top kill. What was your lamest kill?
I didn't give a top kill for this one. Well, you
kind of agreed that Olivia was the dopest, the way she got stabbed and hung out of the...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a different top kill, then that's fine, but...
No. Olivia. Olivia would definitely be... the second one would have to be her publicist.
As best or worst?
Best.
Yeah, I agree. That was cool.
That was amazing, especially how he just tossed her through the fucking window as Dewey's like, everything's fine, it's being held under control, and it's like, bam!
That's the only one because I agree with the critics that this wasn't that scary because that's one criticism that this wasn't that scary. But that scene did kind of have me on my edge of the seat. And I was like, oh, shit.
That entire thing with her in the parking garage
that
chilled up my spine.
Yeah.
That was a good second kill. The lamest kill I would have to actually touch on would be Jill's mother.
Yeah.
I mean, she legit got stabbed in the back. Through a mail slot. I mean, points for ingenuity. That is pretty individual. I will have to say that's pretty intriguing, thinking about how could we stab her from behind? We could do it from the door.
Yeah.
That is, we could do it from the mail slot. That is really cool. But in another way, it's lazy.
The whole character's lazy, and that's just what sucks, because it's just and we talked about why it is the way it is, but it sucks because to me it's like a what could have been. Like, that is Maureen Prescott's sister.
Yeah.
Like, she has such a story to tell that that could be someone very important to this movie.
She can have her
franchise.
Own movie.
Yeah, like that's her sister. Like, and she only like scratches the surface of big things. Well, I have scars too.
Nobody ever asked me about my scars.
Yeah, that. No one ever asked me about my scars.
Well, no, you were right. You said it. You said the first part right. I was finishing the second part, my brother.
Oh, okay, sweet. But she, like, and we only get that little snippet. It's like, what could have been like? And that character was just killed.
What did you see?
Yeah. It's sad because these movies, for as good and as aware have they been, sometimes the emotional core misses a little bit, where you could, like we said with Dewey and his sister. And
exactly. They don't really focus on the drama that much. And a lot of people listening to this are probably laughing at us because they know that we don't like drama.
Yeah.
But it's kind of necessary in these movies. Because, like, her mother dies.
Well,
her friends die. Everyone around her dies. So it is a little dramatic.
And death is a real traumatic thing.
Absolutely.
And as such a movie fan, to me, and the one thing I love and talk shit about horror movies is how fast they get over the deaths. How fast, like, oh, someone just got fucked up, but forget about it.
Neve,
like,
Campbell did a great job, especially in two.
She's one of the best scream queens of all time. I can't talk shit about that woman. Her face and her tears and everything.
Exactly.
The,
like,
sweat
in
Scream off her
two,
face.
She's crying.
Yeah, I
after
love
Randy's death.
Yeah.
And they're like, Sid, calm down. And she's like, I'm not glass. I'm not going to break. I just need everyone to leave me alone. And she's like, I need to go call Randy's parents. And Dewey's like, I already made that phone call. And she's like shaking. Like, you can see her body shake.
Yeah, she is the... Her on the Mount Rushmore of Scream Queens next to Jamie Lee Curtis and maybe a couple other people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the first girl from Black Christmas. And
I don't. I hated that movie, people. You need to know. You need to know how much I love you guys.
Wait, you like? No, I'm talking about the original, like the first final girl of all time.
Oh.
Even though she dies.
But she dies. Yeah. So she's not really a final girl.
No, she's not. What about Giddy from Friday the 13th? All right, so she could be there.
Yeah.
She pretended to be his mom and got him killed. That's badass.
Yeah, technically the girl from Carrie was the final girl.
Well, she was the killer, too.
No, not Carrie. The other one, the one that sent her to the mom with her boyfriend.
Well, still, Cindy and Jamie Lee Curtis to me are the two. That's
Yeah,
I mean,
they're the
more,
two.
But...
they're the two main.
And Nancy from Elm Street.
Yes, Heather Langenkamp.
Yeah. But, you know, besides that, Cindy's the creme de la
creme.
Oh, and
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes, but she's always discount Cindy. I love her, but Neve Campbell is a better scream queen than Jennifer Love Hewitt.
It's just Jennifer Love Hewitt screams better.
Yeah.
That's, like, the only difference. Like, Neve Campbell acts better,
she acts
better.
Yeah, that is true. But as far as Party of Five women, I'm going Neve Campbell over the
Always go Neve Campbell. We love you, Neve. If you ever listen to this, sweetheart, you're more than welcome to give us a call. We would love it.
You could sit down at my house for Thanksgiving dinner out of nowhere, and I'd love it.
She could come to my birthday. I mean, she could just come through the door, and oh my goodness, I think we would hug her so much that she'd probably leave.
So how many butcher knives are you going to give this one?
Three. No, wait, what are we doing at a 10?
Yeah,
at a 10. Six.
This gets a 6 for
it. Yeah. Well, the one, number two, is 10.
Really?
Yeah. And then Scream 1 is, like, an 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, I love,
so you do love
I
Scream
love
2 more.
Scream 1. It's just, I liked Scream 2 better. The kills were better, and it was better.
I still don't know if I can say that. I've always had that take in my mind, but I enjoy both so much. And the first one's like one of the most iconic movies of all time.
Mm-hmm. And I get that, and I respect that. It's just personal opinion.
No, no, it's fine.
I feel the second one is a little bit more gruesome. I mean, this movie has haunted me for so long, people, that I still get shivers down my spine when I have to go to the bathroom in the middle of a movie.
Really?
In the movie theater. Yeah, because that's what my mind always goes to.
Damn.
Somebody stabbing me in the ear. Like, that, you never know.
Thanks, Omar Epps.
So, yeah, thank you for scaring the crap out of me. And the fact that, like, they stabbed Jada Pinkett Smith, like, in front of everyone, and everyone thought it was a publicity stunt. What?
You think they're always going to have the best actors in the movie die first?
Probably.
Like, they just always have really solid actors. That, like, even here, like, out of the three I've seen, I know all six women, like, well. For, like, I've seen them all in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give this movie 6 as well. I thought it was okay. It was a better wrap-up than 3.
Mm-hmm.
But
it did its job. It should have been a trilogy, though.
Yeah.
This should have been the third one.
Yeah, then you add. And it's over. But Scream 5 is coming, and we will see that and let everyone know about that when we do see it. Hopefully when it comes out, we'll hear more and break more news on this podcast. But you got anything else, Mindy, or you want to head home?
I think we can head home with this one. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in. And anything that you think that we missed or you'd like to see us go over or whatnot, just give us a shout on our Facebook page or Twitter or anything else, and we will get to it.
Do you have something you want to do next week? Because if you don't, I can give you something right off that.
Well, we did decide that April was going to be our month of funny,
yeah,
scary movies that were intended to be very scary but were funny. So what did you want to do?
Well, it's got to be in that realm then.
That's what we were going to do.
Yeah. Let's start with the evil bog.
Okay. I can dig it. The evil bog is a really, really good movie. Kind of.
Yeah. I want to do the first one.
Yeah. It's an acquired taste. You'll like it, guys. It's basically, it's a part of April Fool's Day and everything. We're going to be going over the movies that were supposed to be scary, but weren't.
Yeah. I'd also like to do Idle Hands at some point, too.
Absolutely.
That was a good movie.
Absolutely. We're going to go through a lot of movies on this podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
So just hold on and keep riding with us.
And until then, this is Scaredy Cats. We'll see everyone next week.
All right.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track. Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise. Hey man, you know you're never coming.